This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Taking you up to 3:30, early end of the show for Nats Baseball. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. I came back in the studio during the commercial break to see Ryan doing the thing where he's on the defensive.
Uh-huh.
And I knew exactly, just based on everyone's
posture, knew what had happened.
What was going on. Danny was confused, didn't know what Ryan was trying to ask. Ryan was panicking and over-explaining himself. And what Ryan does sometimes is he'll say something authoritative and or ask a question, any kind of rebuttal other than the answer. So you don't even know what he's asking. You're
right.
Just trying to get more information. He immediately just assumes that this went bad, and he just starts panicking and over-explaining. And I could just tell based on him and how he had his hands in the air and you
yes.
sitting there curious, that's exactly what was happening. What exactly did I walk in on there, Ryan? What was happening there?
So I'm a very polite guy. I like to pride myself on that.
Well-raised.
I'll
manners.
Say that. Yeah, I'll agree with that.
And so I went in because Danny was solo at this point during a break. And so I went in as I stumbled upon a dessert menu for the potential restaurant that we're going to be going to tonight.
That's right. We do have our big celebratory meal at this evening after the show. We have the early show, so we're taking advantage today. We're going to go eat some delicious Southern cuisine over at Yardbird.
Yes.
Very excited about this. And we're taking the producers out
yes.
for for dinner this evening to celebrate a good ratings book that we got.
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
And so I saw this one dessert item, banana pudding cheesecake. I haven't had that in a couple years, because not many people do this. And so I saw it, and I was like, I got to have this. And so I went in to politely ask Danny, I don't really know if it came out this way, like, hey, are we really doing desserts tonight? That's basically what I said, and he just like looked at me and he goes, what do you mean?
So why do you ask, are we doing desserts? Are you saying,
yeah.
should I save room for dessert? Are you saying...
Yeah, I could have said that, but I did not.
So you're asking, like, are we going to pay for desserts?
Yes, basically, are
Which
you guys
I didn't
gonna,
understand at first.
Yes, are you guys going to flip over the check to pay for desserts?
Yeah,
that's basically
like,
what I was asking.
Like, the idea that Grant and I, as a thank you to the producers, are taking the guys out, would go, okay, guys, anything on the menu, but we're cutting it off. You guys, you want a dessert, you do that yourself.
No
and
desserts.
Why don't you handle the tip? We're not doing that. We are taking you guys
yes.
out to dinner. That is our thing that we're doing. But it took a long time to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So because Ryan was explaining, he's like, see, sometimes after meals, people still want a little bit of num-num, and they want something sweet. And I was like, what are you getting at here? Like, right. are you allowed?
He's just
do I like dessert too?
He's Joey Meneses in right field. There's a new circuitous route to get to fly ball. What a disaster that was.
It wasn't good, Grant.
Never again. And this is not beat up Joey Meneses time. I'm sure they went to him and said, hey, we want to get someone off their feet. Would you mind playing right field? And he said, no problem. It legitimately
it was a
like
problem, though.
If you pulled a person out of the crowd and said, go out there and try to shag. Go out there and try to fly, catch fly balls. It was that bad. I was listening to the Dodgers broadcast while walking Fiona last night. And by the way, we have such a good broadcast, Charlie and Dave.
Uh-huh.
It's just so much better than the majority of the away broadcasts. With all due respect to this guy who's a legend. You know Charlie Steiner,
longtime ESPN employee.
Sports Center host. I worked with him at MLB Network Radio years ago at Sirius XM. Like a really, really good dude. I really like him. But lost his fastball.
Yeah, broadcasting charisma of a shoe.
But anyway, so like him and whoever was doing color couldn't believe that he didn't catch the ball. They're like, I don't understand how that ball didn't get caught. They're like, it just fell in. Every right fielder ever makes that catch. And I wanted to scream, he's not a right fielder.
He's not.
This is the first time we're trying this, and he's literally a DH. If you want to give him a position, you could try to play him at first. He ain't an outfielder.
And just hope for a bunch of strikeouts.
And he made that pretty clear. But anyways, I don't remember how I got there.
Banana pudding. No.
Yeah, so awkward route. So Ryan was just beating around the bush saying, you know, I saw this thing on the menu and it looks really good.
Like sometimes going, after meals, yeah, I'm like, I didn't understand the question.
So this is, let's just get it out there.
Okay.
Whatever you guys want to order, order. We're going to pay for it. Cocktails, appetizers, entrees, whatever you want to do, order whatever you want. The bill will be picked up. He's used to, I guess, going out to lunch on the Odyssey Dime where they're like, you can only order off these three menus. And it's like the kids' menu, a menu that doesn't exist.
This dinner costs more than $20. Below, right, an explanation.
Right.
Food costs more than $20.
Why did you try to get dessert? Because I was at dinner and then I wanted some dessert and I'm a grown up. That's why. Yeah, so that it's fine. Everything is fine. We got you.
But I was confused. You read it correctly, by the way.
You looked very
confused. Grant comes around the bend and I'm making the like I don't know. There was something he wanted me to say that I didn't know. And I just, my face gave away everything. And I apologize. I couldn't figure out what he was looking for. I don't know if I still have given it to you, but just get your dessert, buddy. Order it first if you feel like it.
You sent me a story today from The Athletic. National NFL reporter wrote about Rodgers and the Packers and their divorce. Did you read this whole story?
I did.
All right, so a couple of things on this. Number one, the way this went was, it sounds like the reporter and the writer, and I don't have his name in front of me, he initially talked to someone with the Packers who, under anonymity, told him their side of what happened with this divorce with Aaron Rodgers. I would imagine Gutekunst spoke to him for this story, whether he was the main source or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, because Gutekunst is quoted later in the story talking about Jordan Love.
Uh-huh.
So they talked at some point while he was writing this story. I'd imagine he gave some intel on Rodgers. The other side, though, is Rodgers, by name, as the source, kind of answering a lot of the things that this guy heard happened from the Packers. But what I found so amazing was Aaron Rodgers basically says, Danny, that the Packers are the reason the relationship went really bad, that the Packers didn't communicate with him well enough, and that the breakdown in communication was kind of the reason that this all went sideways. You could trace the entire beginning of the fractured relationship to when Jordan Love was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
He was immediately upset about that. But I wanted to read you this, and just you tell me if I'm missing something. I found this hilarious.
Yep.
Like, Rodgers in subsequent paragraphs talks about how the team's bad at communicating and they didn't want to have a good relationship with him, and I'm paraphrasing, but like, they're the reason why this marriage went sour. Quote from Aaron Rodgers: did Brian Gutekunst text me more than I texted him? Yes, but did I ghost him? No. I texted him back. There was back and forths that we had, and so this is, he says, and so this is the story you want to go with. You're going to stand on this hill of austerity and say that arguably in the conversation of the best player in your franchise history, you're going to say, I couldn't get a hold of him, and that's why we had to move on. Come on, man. Just tell the truth. You wanted to move on. You didn't like the fact that we didn't communicate all the time. Like, listen, I talk to the people that I like, end quote. So you're saying bad communicators, yet you admit that you didn't respond to them as often as they responded to you. And this guy wasn't cool to you, and yet you're saying, I talk to the people I like. Sounds like maybe this was a two-way street.
Yeah, a little bit of head-scratching there. Credited the disconnect to the Packers not using FaceTime to call him.
Yes, he says anyone who knows him knows that when he's in California at his home, for some reason I don't quite understand this, he can't answer the phone and talk on the phone unless it's FaceTime. So he's like, if you want to get a hold of me, you have to FaceTime me. But he claims that while they were trying to get a hold of him pretty extensively, it sounds like, the phone would drop or something would happen. I don't know about you, man. I just kind of feel like if it's important to you to talk to someone,
yes,
if Odyssey or someone else is trying to contact you pretty consistently, you know what I would do? Is I would find a way to get a hold of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Didn't seem like that was a priority to him.
It's pretty simple.
There was another anecdote in here. Did you see where Gutekunst was going to meet up with him in California?
Yes.
So Gutekunst was supposed to meet with Rodgers in the offseason in California when he was at one of these NFL PA bowls or something. And they didn't meet up. And Rodgers said, when I hit him up, he'd already left town. Well, it sounds like Gutekunst texted him, and maybe the next day Rodgers responded. And Rodgers' point is, like, he said he was going to meet up with me, and then we didn't meet up. Well, no kidding. When he was out there, it sounds like he contacted you. Rodgers claims that night or the next day he responded to him. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, what are we doing?
This whole thing, I don't know. I've gone back and forth on it. Rodgers is obviously a lot to deal with. I think that's a given. My point all along is you deal with it because now you're in the abyss. You sort of have to do things to deal with this egomaniacal Hall of Fame superstar who didn't give a damn to show up to offseason stuff and threw for 48 touchdowns in 2020. 48 touchdowns. He completed 71% of his passes, threw for 48 touchdowns and 5 picks in 2020. They lost in the NFC Championship game again and gave up almost 300 yards rushing. So what they did was they go, we should probably draft another quarterback. Instead of do anything to help this group get over the top, we're going to draft the heir apparent Aaron Rodgers because it's the Packer way or this, that, and the other. So my initial reaction is, please support, even if it's impossible and your ego won't allow it, allow it. That's the reason you're good. You've got the guy. Stop pussyfooting around. You could be Cleveland. You could be Chicago. You could be Washington like this. But the more you hear about Aaron Rodgers, the more you go, this just sounds like a really, really, really difficult thing to manage. It just sounds really challenging.
And this is kind of honestly always been my point. Like, it's not like they were trying to appease Sam Howell.
Right.
Or you know, even like Kirk Cousins is a unique guy, right? A different kind of cat. And Washington was trying to deal with him and interact with him and get him a contract. Like, this guy's going to a darkness retreat, man.
Yeah, he's a weirdo.
For multiple days. He calls it medicine. You know, other people would say, what is ayahuasca? Like, it's a plant, I guess.
But, I don't know.
You know, like, is that a hallucinogen? I don't even know what that is. But the point of the dude's story is, this is not a normal guy to have to deal with. And if you are actively, you tell him at the end of the season, hey, we're going to give you as much time as you need. And then you contact him and say, hey, I'm going to be out in California. I'm going to come to your house. We're going to have a meeting during this couple of day window. And then you hit him up and a day goes by and he doesn't respond and you're ready to get on a flight and leave. Like, what are you supposed to do? And he acknowledges they definitely reached out to me more than I reached out to them. But yet you're saying they didn't do enough to contact you. And your excuse is, well, my phone. You guys don't understand.
You guys don't get it.
People who know me know I only have one bar at my house. So if you just call me or text me, I might not see it. You never left your house. You weren't leaving at all. And oh, by the way, if it, again, I'm going to go back to, this is good life advice. I'm not a guy to give life advice. You could probably do a lot better than me. There's mm-hmm. podcasts out there for help that probably someone more qualified than me can provide. But I'll say this to dudes or young girls that are dating someone or trying to date someone. If they don't make themselves available and if they've always got a reason why they can't hang out, it's not a priority to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you experience that as a young person.
That's with anything. That's not even dating. That's anything.
If they can't make time to respond to your text or to give you a call as they said, hey, I'm sorry, I got busy. Couple times here or there, things happen. If that's routine over weeks, which is sounding like what took place, he made it. There was a line here when Gutta Kunst was going to come out and see him in California where he said, yeah, I got appearances. I got this. I got that. But I would definitely like to meet up. That would be great. And then he said, I think it was that night. Maybe it was the next day I reached back out to him. What are you supposed to do? Oh, by the way, he didn't come to OTAs last year, the quarterback of your team. You had two, he's been begging you to draft rookie wide receivers to help him forever. You draft them, and they're behind schedule because he wasn't at organized team activities, which is another thing I found funny.
Mm-hmm.
He downplayed that and said, oh, that's so, you know, after the fact and ridiculous that they're going to say I wasn't all in last year. I had the same commitment as I've always had. I was just as into the season. I'm always, you know, if I say yes, I'm fully committed, that kind of guy. He's been at OTAs pretty much his whole career until last year. Something changed.
Yeah,
and
it's
clear.
And
is he OTAs right now with the Jets? Why are you there? He downplayed and said, oh, anyone who knows football knows those aren't important. Why would I have gone? He's making that call from now Jets OTAs where he is.
Right.
Well, why are you there then if it's such a stupid activity?
No, precisely.
Oh, because something can be gained and you can learn something about your teammates and you can bond a little bit. You mean like with the new wide receivers that last year got off to a slow start with you and then came on later in the year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the clear departure and change here is when they drafted Jordan Love. Now, I don't know. I don't know what he was told or not. I don't know who to believe. I don't really care at this point. I do know that you've got both sides basically pointing the finger at the other as to why it's not working. But the whole point is that it wasn't working. And Rodgers now kind of revisionist, sort of going back over it, trying to paint it as their fault. I mean, the way he described the story was, you know, I hit him back like 5 days later. Like, what are you talking about? That's not how you communicate with someone whose relationship you value. I've done that to people that I'm not really that interested in hanging out with or don't care about. You guys have done that as well. So it's clearly, it got to the point where it couldn't work. And the idea that he was saying, yeah, I won the MVP without going, well, you're great. It's not about, that's not the question.
Right. That was never the debate.
That's not the debate, dude. The debate is what's important to you. And he lost his enthusiasm and zeal for playing for the Green Bay Packers. I think that became pretty obvious.
It's pretty clear, to your point, that the moment they drafted Jordan Love, everything changed.
That was it.
They tried to make it work after that. You know what it reminds me or makes me think of is like when you see in a movie or in a TV show, like one of the members of the relationship cheated and they're going to try to stay together. But like they constantly have this issue where they come back to and the other one holds it over the other one's head. They remember when you were unfaithful. And eventually you did your darndest, you tried. But that day, something irreparable in the relationship broke. And they did what they could. They tried to stay together for the kids, so to speak. But they never viewed each other the same way. And I think that moment, Rodgers decided they want to move on from me. And maybe they did. As you said, it was probably a dumb thing to do. They were coming off of an NFC Championship game where Rodgers had a really good season, where they could have and should have probably made the Super Bowl based on Rodgers and how good he was. But they got run all over by the 49ers, who broke a record for rushing in the NFC Championship game, as you highlighted. And rather than going and trying to fix that defense or empower him, they prepared for life after him. And that sent a message to him, obviously. It all changed that day. But would I willingly sign up to deal with that? I think I probably would for a year or two as a hired gun like the Jets did. But I need two things. Number one, I need a guarantee that this is not a one-and-done season. I need two shots to win a championship, because it's too hard to do in 1 year. So I need to know you're in this to win this for two seasons. And maybe he gave them that commitment, I'm not sure. The other thing is, I need you to fully commit and tell me you're going to be Aaron Rodgers of a few years
ago. All the things, yeah.
You can't just kind of pick and choose. You can't Nolan Ryan this thing. Hey, you know, I'm gonna fly on my own plane. I'm going to stay at my own hotel. I'm going to have family here for this. No. You're a member of this team. You want in or you don't. If you don't, that's fine. I'll go a different direction. But I need you to be one of the guys for the next couple seasons. Do you want to try this or not?
Yeah, it depends on who you are. And what I mean is there are certain teams, like one here in this town, for example, where I'd go, I don't care. I don't care what the cost is. You sign up. You make the trade. You do whatever you have to do. You bring it. Right? Certain teams where you're just a factory, you've got Mr. Irrelevant in San Francisco, for example, taking you on the cusp of a Super Bowl. You don't need to do that. You don't need to sign up and be in that business. If you're always good, you don't have to deal with that. If you haven't had a decent quarterback in decades for more than a minute or two at a time, you get desperate and you do whatever you have to do. So if I'm the Jets, I got a pretty good club from last year. Look at some of their numbers. Look at some of the kind of the baseline. They were one of the better defenses in the sport. Offensively, they fell apart, of course, because of how bad their quarterback play was. If they get above average quarterback play, they're good. If they get Aaron Rodgers of a couple seasons ago, that's a Super Bowl contender. So I'd do that. But you're going in going, all right, let me get a good night's sleep beforehand. Let me have plenty of coffee, good nutrition. I'll probably have to take up some sort of relaxation and meditation technique. He's going to keep me up at night and make me miserable. But if it all works, it was a worthwhile gamble.
Was it worth it last year, though, playing at the level he played at? It was not.
No, not in Green Bay.
You know, 3,600 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 12 picks. There's 20 guys in the league that can do that. It's worth it when you are 4,300 yards, 37 touchdowns, and 8 picks. When you are an MVP, now it's worth it. Last season, not even close. By the way, remember earlier when we went to break and I told you Shohei Ohtani had hit a home run?
Yeah.
He hit another one.
No, it's the first one again.
The pitcher for the Angels. No, the first one was 440.
Oh, I see.
This one was 478.
I see. What?
Yeah.
Say that number again?
You heard it.
No.
478. I believe that's the longest home run in baseball this season. Has anyone hit a ball 480? I don't think they have. I'll look that up during the break, but I don't recall anyone going 480.
What are we doing? What is everything?
Every story you've ever heard about the guy 50 years ago hit a 500-foot homer is probably a lie, just so we're all on the same page.
Uh-huh.
Like, I saw him. He hit a 500. Unless there's StatCast. Unless Mike Petrelio was there clocking it for you. Not so sure he went 500. Shohei went 478 today. Confirmed. Real life. Picture of the Angels. We got a cool thing we're doing tomorrow. We are out in Bowie, Maryland.
Oh, yeah.
At the Bowie Bay Sox game. James Wood and the Nationals AA affiliate, Senators, are going to be in town. We're going to be in Bowie broadcasting live from 2 to 6:30. So when you get out there, come say hi to us at the Bay Sox game tomorrow. We'll get you your leadoff ahead of Nats baseball as we continue next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
The leadoff comes your way in just a few minutes. We'll get you ready for Nationals baseball. They've got a day game against the Dodgers coming up a little bit after 4 o'clock right here on The Fan. Charlie and Dave pregame about 10 minutes away. By the way, do you know that the Nats have dropped, I believe it's now 12 of 15 head-to-head to L.A.? It's funny because in my own mind, I think of the Dodgers still as this immovable force. I think of them and I think, that team is going to win the National League again. They're unbelievable. And they're actually kind of normal now. Like, if you look at their lineup, it's not 4 or 5 years ago where they had an all-star at every position. They're a lot closer to being pedestrian. They're a game and a half better than the Diamondbacks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're just regular good. They're not 115 wins good.
They, this moment, because they have back-to-back wins, while the Braves have lost 2 straight to the A's, which is hilarious, have the best record in the National League. But I think it's almost like if you're a fan of the Commanders, and you watch all of their games, and you see a running back go for 100 twice against them in the division, say Miles Sanders, You think that guy is unbelievable. And you look up his numbers at the end of the year, and he had like 611 yards.
Like, what the?
I think part of why I view the Dodgers as this non-conquerable task, this bad guy at the villain at the end of the video game, is every time I watch the Nationals play them, they lose. We can
and they get bludgeoned.
Figure out the game script whenever you want to, but it's sometimes they score runs and the Dodgers score more. Sometimes they don't score any and the Dodgers score one. They just can't beat this team. Patrick Corbin on the hill today, by the way.
That'll fix it.
Against the Dodgers as the Nats look for win number 24 on the season to get back within 8 of .500. I do see Nats fans still keeping up with the wild card race and that they're 5 games back. I mean, the more important thing is let's just play clean ball. Let's not commit errors. C.J. Abrams again last night with an error that led to a bunch of unearned runs. He's got 10 errors now at shortstop this season. It would be a lot more without Dom Smith. But I just want clean baseball. That's what I'm looking for at this point.
Development. And that's a sign of it, right? Abrams not making those fixable errors. I mean, to me, I'll live with a C.J. Abrams error where he's, you know, ranging behind second base, basically laying out, getting up, trying to scramble, make a great play. I can live with a great play attempt.
Frankly, last night's error, way more tolerable than the one the night before when he, like, fell over.
Yeah.
Because last night, he's, like, reaching across his body, third baseman's in his way, lot going on, and then he airmails a throw.
Right, kind of my point. Like, I can live with, where you've got talent, and those that eventually get kind of calmed down. It's the what should be a double play ball, like a little 6-3, flip it over there, inning ending, is now turning into, you know, a yard sale. That's a little bit tough for me. But I want to see the growth. That's all I'm concerned about. I will not be looking up the wild card race anytime soon, unless we're talking about like the top of the National League with regards to, you know, if Milwaukee is going to hold off Pittsburgh. I'm not doing that. I have no interest in that. I want to see Luis Garcia take balls that are out of the zone. You know what I mean? I want to see Keibert Ruiz have a couple of these balls that he's drilling to the gap, actually, you know, carry over the fence here and there every now and again. I want to see growth. That is my whole mission this year, period, end of story.
Let's go to the phones. Neil's waiting in Woodbridge, wants to jump in on something I'd mentioned a few minutes ago.
Hey, Neil.
What's up, Neil?
Hey, gentlemen. Hey, welcome, and thanks for getting us home every day, each afternoon. So thank you.
We do our best.
I was calling because I looked at the home run list on a Bleacher Report article, and they were saying that Joey Meyer in 1987 hit a minor league home run that was 582 feet.
That's the record.
That Josh Gibson also hit a 580 out of Yankee Stadium back in the Negro League playing days as well.
Yeah, that was in 1937. That one's like the iconic.
Correct.
I guess not in big league, but viewed as the longest home run by a pro, because the minor leagues, while professional, obviously the lower levels.
The fun fact is that Joey Meyer hit also on June 3rd, but 1987.
Oh, wow. So 50 years later.
Josh Gibson's was June 3rd, I believe 1937.
That's crazy. So 50 years apart.
So that Joey Meyer story, this is a big, I read something in depth about this years ago. It's like this legendary Paul Bunyan type figure, not a big leaguer, but just this looked like a dude that came off the professional softball field, like a giant hulking mass of a man playing in Mile High Stadium or close to it in Denver, hits a ball almost 600 feet. So I buy that. It's like so far above sea level, a humid day. Maybe that happened that way. Maybe.
Minor leagues, I'm just dismissing. In terms of home run length, I don't know. Mm-hmm. What, pre the technology we have now, how were they measuring that, frankly? You just can't convince me it's exact. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Nowadays, with exit velocity and launch angle you get in the ballpark, but with the actual ability to track the baseball the way that we do, it's the closest thing to being exact that we're going to have. And so I buy it when I see 478 from Shohei Ohtani today. I think the longest home run that I can find here in the big leagues on record, at least what I'm looking at here, is 487 foot from Mark McGwire. I'm sure there were some longer home runs than that, some 500 footers.
Yeah, Stanton went out of course.
Yeah, there's definitely numbers that are larger than that. Oh, yeah, CJ Cron here in 2022 had a 500 foot home run. Nomar Mazara, who's actually in the system, 505-foot home run in 2019 for the White Sox. So Giancarlo hit one. Yelich has hit a 499er. But 478, you just don't see.
It's just touched.
It's a crazy number.
Yeah.
Real quick, I wanted to get this in. Emmanuel Forbes today. Did you see all of the people out at practice raving about him?
Gushing about Forbes.
PBUs, some pass breakups, some picks, jumping routes. Apparently, he's just been cerebral in terms of you get him on something and then you run something similar a few plays later and he jumps it and he telegraphs it and he sees it before it happens. Sounds like, again, I'm not going to get overexcited. This is what we do this time of year.
Uh-huh.
But there's something to be said for you either flash or you don't right away. And he is showing up a lot at these workouts.
100%. Again, I keep beating this drum. The alternative is way worse and alarming. This is, oh, nice. He's got a skill set. That's good. He belongs. He belongs in the league. He belonged in the first round, and he's going to be an asset. How good he's going to be, that's a huge, 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 huge variable at this point. Is he going to hold up for 17 weeks with pulling guards and tight ends hunting for him and, you know, trying to knock him around and physical running backs attacking him? Because you know he's going to get attacked in the run game just to see. They tried in the SEC for a few years. He held up pretty well. But teams are going to try to figure out what you are. They're going to see, can you – it sounds cute that at 165 pounds, you can step up and make tackles on our running game. Can you do it five times? You do it seven times? You do it in the fourth quarter in December? It's all TBD. But the thing that is going to stand out, I think, is what you're talking about there. It's that supercomputer that he's got where he goes, I'm now confident enough that I can jump this route and make a play. Like, that turnover thing is going to be worth the price that they paid.
Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Let's get to the leadoff and take our first look at the Nats lineup as they get ready for the Dodgers today. Presented by Rudy's Golf in Kingstown, Alexandria. Went over there a couple weekends ago. It is a lot of fun. Features a double-deck driving range, top tracer tech, two putt-putt courses, and a full restaurant. Fun for the whole family. Visit rudysgolf.com. Rudy's Golf, the new go-to spot for golf and entertainment.
Lane Thomas leading off in right field. It's a day of the week, so Lane Thomas is hitting. Luis Garcia batting second, playing second. Joey Meneses is your designated hitter, batting third. Corey Dickerson gets the nod in left field cleanup. Jamer Candelario at third base, batting fifth. Dominic Smith at first, batting sixth. Catcher K-Bear Ruiz, batting eighth. Shortstop, C. Jake Abrams, batting ninth. Center fielder, Alex Cole.
You mentioned Lane Thomas. He has reached safely, gotten on base in 26 straight games, longest stretch of his career. He's hit safely in 15 straight games, looking to extend his hitting streak to 16 today. He is batting .324 with an OPS over .975 during that on-base streak of 26 games. And he's been one of the best players in baseball in the month of May. Incredible to see what he's done. .605 slug this month, top 10 in the National League. Ranks in the NL right now, 8th in hits and 10th in runs scored. He's having an awesome season. Had an outfield assist last night in center field, which he doesn't even play, playing out of position. And if you're wondering, that 26-game on-base streak, the longest by a National since Tony Rendon in the World Series year in 19. 15-game hitting streak, longest by a National since some guy named Juan Soto back in 2020.
Familiar names there rattling around in my brain. I can't really put a face to it, though.
He's been incredible. There you go. That is your leadoff ahead of Nats baseball. The Nats get a lot of hits. They just don't score enough runs, man.
Nope.
It's all singles. Like yesterday, they went single, 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 hit by pitch, and they had one run to show for it. Meanwhile, the Dodgers send Jason Hayward to the plate in an inning where three guys have terrible at-bats, and they get a run out of it, and it's 1-1 because he hits the ball over the fence. On the season, Washington's offense leads the National League in batting average. Not a single team in the league with a higher batting average than .263, the Nats. They're fifth in on-base percentage at .328. They have the lowest strikeout rate in the major leagues, 18.7%. They're the hardest team to strike out. They get on base at an elite level. They have the best batting average in the National League. And yet, runs sometimes are difficult because they just don't get extra base
hits. Just tells you where the game is right now, right? It's you no longer, you know, get them up, get them over, get them in. You got to bop, and they just don't have it. The guys that they're counting on for power are not hitting for power.
The fellas are about to go eat our weight at a delicious
I'm
D.C.
starving.
Restaurant. For Darris and Ryan and Danny, I'm Grant saying so long. Thank you for listening to the show. Really difficult hour and a half radio today. I'm going to have to need a nap after this one.
Oh, we can take naps.
We are back at 2 o'clock tomorrow for 4.5 hours of G&D regularly scheduled. Thanks for listening on The Fan. Charlie and Dave pregame next.
Thank you for coming.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.